my friends, and welcome once more to An Honest Wizard. I am Lord Cadrian Flynn, your host again. Well, we are examining another spell in the game of Dungeons and Dragons. The spell we're looking at today is a 6th level clerical spell of Abjuration, called Forbiddance. This spell can be cast as a ritual, and takes 10 minutes of time to cast, or 20 minutes if you cast it as a ritual. It requires touch. You must physically be able to manipulate the space in which the spell will affect. The components are, of course, gesturing and speech. It is a type of prayer, after all, but the material components that must be on hand are holy water, a rare incense, and powdered ruby. The concoction must be worth at least 1,000 gold pieces. However, under some uses of the spell, these components are not consumed. Put an asterisk next to that, however. The spell lasts for a full day. Another separate asterisk for that. This spell creates a magical ward that protects a place. It prevents magical travel and transportation. Up to 40,000 square feet of floor space. And this covers up to a height of 30 feet above the floor. Obviously, if you have multiple floors, you can split it up. But over the course of the 10 minutes, you must travel through that area, doing your chanting, your ritualization, your sprinkling. And for that duration, creatures cannot teleport into that area. Portals, gates, and the like do not work. And the spell protects the area against any such planar travel. It stops creatures from coming into the area, either through the near plane, such as the ethereal plane, Feywild, or Shadowfell, or the mid-plane of the astral. The plane shift spell, likewise, is ineffective in an area that is covered by forbiddance. And, as a further degree of protection, the spell can be used to injure and damage creatures. You get to choose when you cast the spell. You can choose one or more of the following types. Most of your extraplanar creatures: celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead. When that type of creature enters the spell's area, or if it starts a turn in the given area, they take 5 10-sided dice of radiant or necrotic damage, and it's your choice when you cast the spell. Although, as a fair warning, radiant damage against celestials, many of them are resistant, and necrotic damage against undead, many of them are resistant, so go with the opposite if you're going to include those. When you cast the spell, you can choose a password. The creature that speaks the password and enters the area will not take any damage, so you can invite members who are otherwise warded if that is your pleasure. The area cannot overlap with other forbidden spells, and if you cast the spell every day for 30 days in the same location, it becomes permanent until dispelled. However, when you do this, on the last day you cast the spell, the spell components are finally consumed. So this will be a spell that, once again, when you are using it, it does have a final cost. But if you use it as a ritual, you may cast the spell again and again and cover quite a large area with it without having to spend your precious 6th level spell slot. Now, what is the function of the spell? Players might not use the spell very often until they have a stronghold, a temple, a castle, or some such that they wish to use themselves. Often when you make this sort of a spell, you might have an idea of an exception to the area that you yourself would be able to teleport into, say a secured sending room of some sort, but this spell will prevent other creatures from dropping in unannounced. This also will prevent summoning spells fairly well, which is awfully useful. But yes, creatures will have a great bit of difficulty coming into such an area. Also, areas that are considered weak, with a thin veil between your realm and, say, the Shadowfell, perhaps that might have an uncomfortable influence, the spell slams the door shut in the given area. Although these things generally tend to try to find a way no matter what, this spell at least will secure some area for you. So, there is that. Another thing that's very useful about this spell is creating a battleground scenario. If you find that you are about to be attacked by waves of powerful fiends or the like, they'll have to dispel your forbiddance if you ward yourself against fiends. Now, bear in mind, a simple dispel magic can break this spell, but if you are powerful enough to cast it, hopefully the odds are in your favor that your spell will resist their attempt to dispel it. Although, if you're suitably determined, you will attempt to dispel it more than one time. This spell is often found in places that are sacred. Therefore, temples and cathedrals and the major prayer sites of major religions are likely to be warded by such a thing. And considering the spell will last, if cast repeatedly, for an indefinite duration, stumbling upon an area that is holy, or was once holy, may still have the effects of the spell upon them. Now, it's of course up to the Dungeon Master if they're going to be able to relate the existence of any such experience. My suggestion would either be an Arcana check to determine that the planar boundaries are slammed shut in a given area, or perhaps a test against your religious knowledge to sense if you can feel the emanation of divine power threaded through a given area. Either, I think, would be completely fair, although most people would, I suspect, tend towards the religious side, as it is a primarily clerical spell. This spell, because of the time that it takes to cast it, is not a very effective spell for use in combat. It is far more useful if you intend to secure an area. It is therefore primarily defensive. But if an enemy is going to come into your area and attack you using creatures that the area is warded against, and you have enacted that option, I don't think very many creatures enjoy taking the kind of damage that the spell can do again and again and again. Therefore, you are drastically going to change the tactics of anyone who wishes you ill if you are inside such an area. Good to remember. Other than the most essentials of the spell and what it is capable of, the spell itself can primarily be the theatrical impetus of particular incenses that would be sacred to the deity or power of the one granting the power for the spell. Likewise, holy water consecrated to that one would be most effective. As a dungeon master, you might rule that certain deities favor other gems other than ruby, perhaps, although ruby is often seen as appropriate for wards of many varieties, and therefore appropriate to the task at hand. But yes, this is a fairly useful spell, and one that, realistically, in a magical world, there are suitably powerful clerics around. This is a spell that very well might be something your characters might come up against. And as far as wondering if there's any such thing as a permanent refuge that a person might use, where they can't have foes dropping in on them, or being attacked by powerful creatures of other planes. Well, this is such a spell. So, for instance, if you fear vampires, and there's reasons for that, this spell will hedge out such if you wish, and make it so that they cannot penetrate it. Vampires who die from the damage inside of the area are going to be in a rather sticky situation, as it were. So, any number of zombies and the lesser undead thrown against such a place, well, they'll just wither as they enter into the protected area, and therefore find yourself with a modicum of safety. So, useful spell, certainly. Good world-building spell, creating places that are so potently sacred that they actually harm those who would defile it. Also bear in mind as well that the door swings both ways. Unholy places can likewise be sanctified with forbiddance, which can limit your opportunity for summoning, say, spiritual guardians or any such, because such things might be forbidden in conjuration. So, something to think about. Hopefully you found a kernel of usefulness over this treatise, and looking in the spell in a different light. If you have ever used forbiddance to save yourself or your party, well, it's good to know of. And feel free to send me a message on Anchor if you wish to tell me all about it. Otherwise, you can also leave messages at the Facebook site Omnisci. That's capital O-M-N-U-S, capital I. Rather nice fellow. So, until next time, however, may the gods of magic smile upon you and fill your life with magic and wonder. Thank you and farewell.